Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, I'll break down the fallout of the Davante Adams trade, with him heading to the Jets to reunite with Aaron Rodgers, then hit on a few buy or sell options among high-end performers through 6 weeks, and then finish off with some recommendations for week 7. As I've mentioned previously, our rest of season rankings are updated every Tuesday, and the Jets trading for Adams bolts Rodgers up towards high-end QB2 status. We have him as the QB16 behind Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, and Jordan Love. You can make a case for Rodgers to be above those three now that he has Adams, but he doesn't bring the same value as a rusher. But there's no denying that Rodgers has been extremely sharp with a bunch of pinpoint passes, including on Monday night. So with the built-in chemistry with Adams, there should be very few growing pains, if any at all, with him. So Sunday night in Pittsburgh will be tough, but Rodgers should be rostered in all leagues and should have QB1 value in more favorable spots. And it's encouraging that New York has wanted to push the ball down the field more, so there's plenty of upside for him, including in the red zone where Adams will be a force, and Rodgers typically likes throwing the ball in scoring territory, so obviously a huge boost to his stock with Adams in town, and someone to roster the rest of the way is at least a high-end QB2. At running back, no real change for Breece Hall. It was encouraging to see he was featured on Monday night, including as a pass catcher. The concern is Braylon Allen still saw quite a bit of action near the goal line. I guess they didn't have too many traditional goal line short yardage carries, other than the touchdown that was called back for a hold. But Hall should be an RB1 the rest of the way, and an improved offense with Adams should help everyone out. And for Allen, he needs to remain rostered based on his ability as a handcuff. For Adams himself, we moved him up a couple of spots to the wide receiver 8 in our rest of season rankings, and you could probably make a case for him as high as the wide receiver 6, with the top 5 being pretty much set with CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown, and Malik Nabers. But I'd expect Adams to be peppered with targets, again including around the end zone, and playing alongside Garrett Wilson should open things up by preventing double teams, at least on a consistent basis. So Adams, a wide receiver 2 this week because of the matchup against Pittsburgh, but he can be an elite option moving forward, and reuniting with Rodgers was a best case scenario for him. For Wilson, he will also benefit from Adams drawing coverage, but I think you have to say this is a ding on his stock. I'd anticipate him still having big games and a decent floor, but probably more inconsistent and decreased touchdown potential. So we have him as our wide receiver 16, and I think the odd man out for New York will be Mike Williams. He hasn't really gotten on the same page with Rodgers, and there was some definite frustration last night, but I would hold on to him with the hopes of a trade. It seems like that could be the next shoe to drop, and as mentioned in a previous episode, I believe, Kansas City comes to mind as an immediate fit, so I think we'll really see things focus around Adams, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall. So for the buys and sells, this was first found in Wolf Sports Weekly, which, if you don't know, is our newsletter, released every Tuesday, and if you're interested, you can sign up at newsletter.wolfsports.com. But these are all big name guys that have gotten off to strong starts. Actually, before getting to the buys and sells, news dropped that Russell Wilson will now start for Pittsburgh. So Rodgers actually a top 15 option in our rest of season rankings with Field dropping out. I think it boosts the entire Pittsburgh offense. So the big winner for that move is George Pickens. And in very deep leagues, I'd just say Roman Wilson is someone to keep in mind, the rookie third-round pick. But back to the buys and sells. Again, these are high-end guys, so I'll give one each at running back and wide receiver for a buy and a sell, which is what we had for the newsletter. First, the buy at running back, Kenneth Walker III. He missed a couple of weeks with the oblique injury, but he's the overall RB4 in fantasy points per game and has seen increased work as a receiver, including 15 receptions over the past 2 weeks. So he's been highly productive despite just 10.3 attempts per game as a runner since his return, and he hasn't really yet broken off big plays with 0 rushes of 30-plus yards this year. So when everything comes together, he should remain a high-end RB1, and we're buying his early season production as something that will continue. For the sell, and you definitely need hefty returns, but just a big picture view would be Alvin Kamara. The Saints now sit at 2-4 and will be without Derek Carr for at least another game or two. So it's easy to see a scenario where Kamara isn't quite the full-blown workhorse with Kondre Miller, set to make his season debut as soon as Thursday night. So Kamara is the top non-quarterback behind only Derrick Henry through 6 weeks. But if you can get a monster return, he's someone I would consider selling with his value at its highest. For the wideouts, the buy is Devontae Smith. He's been a top 12 option in terms of fantasy points per game. He missed 1 week with a concussion and already had his bye, but most still view him as a low-end wide receiver 2 when he should be viewed as a wide receiver 1, and Philadelphia will only get better through the air in Kellen Moore's system, so Smith remains a home run value compared to the general consensus view, and he's someone to certainly hold or acquire in a trade if possible. And the sell at wide receiver would be Jaden Reed. He's turned into a star, and he's the overall wide receiver 3 through 6 weeks, and his only two gains without double-digit fantasy points came with Jordan Love out, but he could be more of a wide receiver 2 than wide receiver 1 moving forward, with Green Bay wanting to spread the wealth offensively, and Reed's production could fall off some with 16.4 yards per reception so far this year, after just 12.4 yards per reception as a rookie, and I'd expect Josh Jacobs to start finding the end zone more. He's only scored once this season, so overall Reed could be someone to look into trading, including as a good piece in a package deal, maybe a 2-for-1 trade, if you want a high-end RB1 or wide receiver 1. For the Week 7 recommendations, I'll just hit on a few guys real quick. At quarterback, I wouldn't hesitate to get Anthony Richardson back in lineups, and he's a top 5 play for us at quarterback versus the Dolphins. And for someone to avoid, I think a little too much hype for Drake May as a fantasy option after 3 touchdowns in his first NFL start. There is some upside there for him, but New England's still not in a good spot offensively, and I think the consensus has him as a high-end QB2, which I wouldn't agree with, and would view him as more of a low-end QB2, especially if Tyson Campbell's back at cornerback for Jacksonville. For the running backs, I'll just say that Nick Chubb isn't a must-start if he ends up making his debut this week as expected, because of the potential for limited work. But as mentioned in the first episode of the year, he's not someone to bet against, and there's hope that he can be a difference maker by the fantasy playoffs, although the state of the Browns certainly puts a damper on things. At wide receiver, Diontae Johnson, I think, is a top 12 play this week against the Commanders, who couldn't cover Zay Flowers, especially in the first half last week, and remain highly susceptible to opposing passing attacks. And Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't have the greatest matchup this week versus the Niners, but he's someone that's still available in quite a few leagues and should be picked up as a key piece in Andy Reid's offense. And then finally, at tight end, I would keep rolling with David Njoku. The best hope for Cleveland to get things on track would be playing through him and Nick Chubb, so we'll see if Chubb can get the running game going and open up some play-action opportunities for Cleveland, and we still have Njoku as a top 8 option at tight end. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings and analysis on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.